With no fees or minimums, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than deciding to listen to another episode of your favorite podcast. And with no overdraft fees, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank. Capital One N.A., member FDIC.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark with Charles W. Chuck Bryant. Jerry's over there, and we're ready to kick this episode off.
For just $1, you can contribute to Stuff You Should Know.
Yeah. Can they?
No. We're a free podcast. That's why I get less patient with complaints.
Yeah, right. It's a trade-off.
Yeah, it's free. You got some ads here and there. Live with it.
Yeah.
No, but I'm just kidding. We don't fundraise or crowdsource or crowdfund.
No, we just do put stuff out. We have corporate sponsorship.
That's right.
Not everybody does, though.
No.
Not all creatives do have corporate sponsorship. And so, luckily, since, 2009? There's been something to help people like that out.
That's
artists,
right.
Creatives who want to get a project underway but can't do it.
Yeah.
It's called Kickstarter.
They don't have the funds. I'm a big fan of Kickstarter.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I remember when it came out, I was like, this is going to revolutionize independent artists, because one of the problems, if you're an independent artist and you don't want to kowtow to the man,
yeah,
is to just do your own thing, because it's the future is now as far as accessibility to equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make a movie right there in your own neighborhood and home.
Right, yeah.
Pretty easily
it's
these
true.
Days.
There's been a DIY spirit.
Has, yeah.
Well, yes, if you have the skills, it's important.
Well, there's always been that DIY spirit, but it's just the accessibility. This equipment is like never before.
Right, it's they've caught up to one another.
Yeah, it's cheaper. It's you don't have to get film developed. You can edit off your laptop.
Yep.
It's all there for the taking, except that it still costs money.
Yeah, actors didn't come free.
Nope.
That's one thing. So
locations,
if you right? Exactly.
Wardrobe, like it all
craft services.
Sure, you got to have some peanuts and coffee.
And that's just for a movie. There's also like theaters.
Sure.
There's music.
Yeah, I want to travel the world and photograph all the remaining rhinoceros.
Rhinoceri?
Rhinoceri.
I don't know. I think rhinoceroses.
It's a photo book. It's a photo project about the rhinoceros.
In felt.
And I want to do that. You can do that. That's an art project. You can get funded.
You can, if everybody thinks that that's a good idea, which is the cool thing about Kickstarter.
That's right.
So, Chuck, let's talk a little bit about this, right?
All right.
Kickstarter is crowdfunding, which is a play on crowdsourcing,
mm-hmm.
which is originally basically just tapping into the hive mind.
Yeah, thanks to the internet.
Right. There's a lot of people out there. If you take their collective brains or talents or thoughts or efforts together, put them together through the internet, you can do massive, awesome things. Like
sure.
Wikipedia is an original great example of crowdsourcing.
That's right.
Now, if you take all those people and say, hey, just hold on to your time, hold on to your volunteering, hold on to your effort, just give me money instead.
Yeah.
That's crowdfunding. And Kickstarter is one of the better examples of it, but it's not the first.
No. It's called micropatronage, if you want to get specific, and it's been around since the mid-90s. Kiva.org.
Yeah.
We've done a podcast on microlending, and we have our own Kiva team.
We've got a killer Kiva team that just surpassed 100,000 loans.
Yeah.
And we're coming up on $3 million in loans made.
That's right. So if you're interested in helping out, I know we talk about it a lot, but it's been a little while.
Uh-huh.
If you're interested in helping out a business owner, either in the United States or abroad, you uh-huh. can do so at Kiva.org/teams/stuffyoushouldknow.
That's right.
And you can do it as a team.
Yep.
And it's just fun. So Kiva's one great example. Donorschoose.org, I remember when that started, when teachers started posting projects for their school.
Right.
Because schools are ridiculously underfunded and teachers had to like ask the public to help pay for a field trip or something.
Yeah.
You know?
I've seen Waiting for Superman, man.
I still haven't seen that.
Oh.
It's been on my list for years.
Very rarely have I seen a documentary that just got my hackles up like that one.
Yeah.
It's really well done.
Well, that's because can anyone make an argument that education isn't worth funding and supporting?
No, but this does just a great job of like getting all sides of the issue out. You've got it. It's one of the best documentaries ever made.
Yeah,
easily.
I need to see that. And that wasn't on my top documentary list because I hadn't seen it.
Got
to
see it. Oh, and also,
feedback on that.
I want to say thank you very much to all the people who wrote in with suggestions in answer to my complaint that I've seen all the good horror movies.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, I was wrong.
Boy, we got a lot of good suggestions there.
Yeah, I can't wait to see some of them.
Yeah, most of them are foreign, it seems like.
Hey.
They're making the good ones.
It takes the whole world. It takes a global village to scare Josh.
It does. Indiegogo and Celaband were a couple of other early crowdfunding sites for music and movie making. I think Indiegogo does lots of projects now, though.
Right.
It's not just movies anymore.
Yeah. But Kickstarter has emerged as like the go-to site for what's supposed to be creative projects.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this.
Okay.
In 2002, co-founder Perry Chen said, I want to do this concert here in New Orleans, but it costs a lot of money to throw a big concert. And, let me talk to my partners, Yancey Strickler and Charles Adler, and see if we could figure out a way how to do this. And they said, you know what? We know we can get people to donate a little bit of money to this thing, a lot of people, but how can we do that?
You know, I think they met. Perry Chan was waiting tables and was one of the other guy's waiter, and they struck up a conversation
really?
About this. I believe that's how Kickstarter got started.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So they had the idea, obviously, based on, like we said, Indiegogo and some other crowdfunding sites out there to start Kickstarter in 2009. But they said, you know what? We're going to do exclusively creative projects. You can't raise money to, like, pay your rent or pay off your house.
Right.
Or anything weird like that.
And it wasn't – you can't just do – like a vague plan or something like that. It had to be, here is – what I'm going to accomplish. Here's my project. Here is the end result. This is what it's going to be. Here's the timeline I want to get this done within. And this is my Kickstarter project.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going to hopefully go get funded.
My campaign.
Yeah. But it's creative.
Yes. That's right. And, they wanted to differentiate themselves and be unique. And being creative only was one of the ways, that they did that. Another way they did so was, and I thought this was a stroke of genius. It's all or nothing.
Yeah, this makes sense now.
Unless you get 100% of your funding, you're not going to get any funding. And Kickstarter is only going to collect, of course, they make money by collecting a little piece of it.
Yeah.
5% commission only if you reach that funding goal, though.
Right.
Which, sets it apart from the crowd. And I think it's pretty genius.
The whole reason it's genius is this. If you are a creator and you have a project, and you get halfway to your goal, your monetary goal, and you take that money, you are obligated still to those people who gave you just half of the money you needed to create something. But what you're going to create is inherently inferior to what you would have created had you had all the money you figured out you needed for this project. So if you can take less than all, you're going to set yourself up to make something that you're not proud of.
Yeah. Or if you don't get funded, you might think, all right, well, maybe that wasn't the best idea. Or, you know, maybe go another route. Or say maybe that wasn't the best idea. Let me try something else.
Which is like a crowdsourcing aspect of Kickstarter. You're also saying to the hive mind, is this a good idea?
Yeah. And the other cool thing about the 100% or nothing is as a donor or an investor – You know that what you're going to end up with is this finished movie or this finished record album or this finished photo project.
Right.
It's not just going to be like, well, I just lost that $5 to something that was 30% funded. and I don't even know where what I'm going to get out of it now.
Right.
You know?
You just basically, like, threw a $5 bill into a busker's guitar case or something, you know?
Yeah. Which is something you should do, too.
There's nothing inherently wrong with that. Yeah. But the point of Kickstarter is there's a project that this person has approached you on, and you have said, that is worth $25 of my money.
Yeah.
Even if I don't get anything back.
Sure.
I feel good about this project, not the fact that you're an artist in general.
Right.
Or you're a musician in general. This is this project that I'm investing in.
That's right. Another interesting facet to Kickstarter is that they do offer rewards as a backer.
Right.
They require people to offer rewards. So it's not just, hey, you're going to feel good about yourself for supporting the arts in my finished movie. You're going to get a copy of the DVD or the CD, maybe signed by the artist.
Right.
Maybe it's a poster. Maybe it's a pin or a button for a $2 donation.
Right. Or maybe it's lunch with me if you kick in $100,000.
Or maybe you're the executive producer if you kick in all the money.
Right. Yeah.
Or not all the money, but you know, they have different tiers set up.
Yeah.
And different rewards, that align with those tiers.
Yeah. The thing is there's rules with this. Like you can't offer a financial stake in the project or equity.
No.
You can't say you kick in $25 now, you'll get $50 back when I sell this thing to, you know, Carol Co.
Yeah.
Films. You know?
Where'd you come up with that?
That's a go-to of mine.
Carol Co?
Yeah.
Haven't they been out of business for like 20 years?
They had a good logo. Yeah. It glowed, I believe. And then the other, so when this stuff is all done and up on Kickstarter, basically the creative has said, I'm responsible for two things. One, I will complete this project. If I get funded fully, that means this project has to be done.
Sure.
I can't just take the money and run.
No.
Legally, I think they can.
Oh, really?
Yes. But I think the public shaming that would ensue.
Sure.
It would just not be worth it.
That would be your only Kickstarter project.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then secondly, you have to fulfill whatever your rewards were.
Right.
And we'll get into the nuts and bolts about actually creating a Kickstarter project, right after this. Stuff you
should know. And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Let's talk about hustle culture, shall we? You know, the whole rise and grind, go big or go home thing? It's a lifestyle that might not be for you.
That's right, but one that your money can handle thanks to Betterment. Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle.
How? Good question. Their automated technology optimizes your investments again and again. With Betterment, your money is taking ice baths at 5 a.m. while you get your well-deserved rest. Your money downs protein smoothies and automatically reinvests your dividends, all before you head out the door. Your money is a workaholic.
But you don't have to be, because you've got Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. So visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play. Okay, so we said it has to be a creative project. What does that mean, Josh? I think if I fart the Star Spangled Banner on YouTube, that's a very creative project.
I can't believe you just used the F word. You know what? You probably could get that funded pretty easily.
I totally could.
And the key is,
Aaron
though,
Cooper would pay for that by himself.
By himself. He would liquidate everything he has. Just as long as you did that. You're right. The thing is to get onto Kickstarter's site, you have to get past the Kickstarter staff. And it's actually not just any Joe Schmo can come along and be like, I define creativity.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, there are definitions for what makes a creative project. And then on the other end of that is the staff that has to look over a proposal and say, yeah, this meets our standards.
Yeah, they define it on their website as art, comics, dance, design, fashion, film, food, games, music, photography, publishing, technology, and theater.
Right.
And they admit that it is an ever-evolving definition because creative people are kind of wacky. And they'll submit things that walk the line that they'll have to decide. Hey, this Chuck Bryant guy, he's kind of a big podcaster. He wants to fart the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah.
On the front lawn of the White House.
Oh man.
That sounds pretty good to me.
You could very easily get onto the front lawn of the White House these days too.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, you just jump the fence.
Oh nice. And start farting.
So the thing is I think in that sense, on that end of the spectrum, they're a lot more liberal. Like,
yeah.
I don't think the Kickstarter staff is interested in saying, that's art, or I don't agree with that art, so that's not really art.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
What they're more concerned with is becoming an As Seen on TV website.
Right.
So the author of this article, it was Dave Ruse, he puts it like, it's a proposal for a project, not for a finished product. So it's not, hey, buy my DVD, it's, hey, invest in this project, and you'll get a DVD when it's finished.
Yeah.
That's a huge distinction.
Sure.
Because if not, it would just be an online marketplace. And Kickstarter suffers a lot of criticism because it's evolved in that way. But apparently, they're cool with that to a certain degree.
Yeah, there was one case, I think it was a couple of years ago, for a watch band that held the iPod Nano.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when that came out. They wanted to raise $15,000, and they raised $1 million. That's the other cool thing about Kickstarter. I don't think we mentioned. If you go over, then great.
Yeah.
Good for you. But basically what happened was your $25 donation got you that watch band that you can now get online or at Apple stores for $40.
Right.
And they did take, you know, they took some flack for that, saying, isn't this just a way to buy something before it comes out?
Yeah, like it's
for cheaper.
Pre-order.
Yeah, pre-order. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Pre-order this thing.
Yeah.
I know right now, I think the biggest success they've had is that cooler.
The coolest cooler.
Have you seen that thing?
$13.285 million. And I think their original goal was like $50,000.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I first saw the little ad for this thing on Facebook, it was awesome. I was like, man, that is one cool cooler.
Yeah, it has like Bluetooth, a waterproof Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah.
It has a ice crushing blender built in. It is a cooler too.
Yeah.
And again, like we said, like this is the crowdsourcing aspect of it. Like these people came up with the coolest cooler,
mm-hmm.
and the world said, yes, that product needs to come into existence.
Yeah.
And they voted by saying, here is way more money than you need. And now, yes, it's basically a pre-order. Not only that, this company now can sell out to whoever they want to.
Sure.
And sell coolest coolers for the rest of eternity.
Yeah, license it to Igloo or somebody.
Right, because yeah. It's not a gamble.
Right.
At all. It's already proven itself on the, in the retail market. So there's no gamble whatsoever. So they can just keep making them themselves, or they can expand and attract outside capital. And it's all because Perry Chen and his fellow co-conspirators created this website
yeah.
that has all these dimensions to it, even though it's so simple.
Sure.
When placed into the context of the internet, it has
complications.
It takes on,
yeah.
Complications, but also expansions.
Yeah. For
it's,
sure.
It's pretty cool.
Even though there are products like that, 60%, over 60% of products that are successfully funded are music, film, and video.
So that's a little, I mean,
that
that's,
off now?
That's true, but it's flip-flop some apparently. So this article, I think it was 2011.
Yeah.
From what I saw, the most popular by far as far as funded projects go is film and video.
Yeah.
Then music, then publishing, then art, and then games.
Gotcha. Like, what does games mean?
There's a lot of role-playing games.
Oh, really?
That
oh,
get
okay.
created on Kickstarter. It's another thing too. It's a great marketplace for non-traditional stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you'd probably think of going on to Amazon to look for that, and you might find something too, but you're not going to find a game that doesn't exist yet on Amazon.
Wow.
I don't know.
You just blew my mind.
Thanks.
I got a few more stats for you. These are current as of today. 1.38, is that a billion?
Billion.
Dollars pledged to projects. Almost 73,000 successfully funded projects. By the time this comes out, it'll probably be past that. 18.5 million total pledges.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having trouble with my commas today. But that's basically the public saying, we believe in donating small amounts of money to projects that we believe in. And I think that's great.
I do too.
I think it's a pretty neat concept.
So we were talking about how odd Kickstarter can get sometimes. There's like no dearth whatsoever of very weird Kickstarters.
Oh, yeah.
That have resulted in some pretty cool stuff, like Zach Danger Brown's potato salad.
Oh, that guy.
He was looking for some money to just make potato salad one day.
Yeah.
And got wildly funded, well past his goal, and ended up holding potato stock in his town of Columbus, Ohio. And he made something like 350 or 450 pounds of potato salad. So, like, if you donated, you could come and eat this potato salad.
Yeah.
That was it. That was the Kickstarter. If that's not conceptual art, I don't know what is.
Is that how he categorized it?
That's how I categorize it.
Because food is a category, too. Maybe it was both.
He straddled the line.
The food art project. They do. There are some tips we can give you, though. Kickstarters. What do they call themselves?
Kickstart people.
They say that obviously you have to start with a very catchy, unique, fun, and or inspiring idea.
Potato salad is pretty inspiring.
Well, that can be fun or catchy at least. They say you should have a good story. Because what you're going to do is you don't have to, but you're encouraged to make a video pitching your idea.
Right.
And if you've watched some of these, they're all usually just kind of off the cuff and tongue in cheek and fun and low budge. You know, you don't want to like look like you have a lot of money probably.
Right.
By making some big production. And you want to appeal to someone. If you got a great story about why you're doing your project, then that's certainly going to help you get funded.
Yeah. And that's one of the things about Kickstarter too, is that, you hear about the potato salad thing that became basically an internet meme.
Sure.
It became so popular. The coolest cooler.
Yeah.
You could find out about on Good Morning America. You can really count the number of Kickstarters on both hands. Maybe if you had a third hand, that would be helpful.
Sure.
That you've heard about if you're not like a Kickstarter donor, don't really go to Kickstarter.
Right. Yeah.
But that leaves 70,000 in change that you've never heard of.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with Kickstarter. You create your Kickstarter projects page, and the first thing you do is send it to family and friends.
Yeah.
Say, hey, want to invest in this? And then you take it out to your social media contacts. And then if it is a really good idea, theoretically, it should take off on its own.
Yeah.
It should just spread by word of mouth. Somebody should say, this is really cool, and I'm going to share it. And Kickstarter makes it easier for you to share. Well, I just sounded like I was pitching Kickstarter.
I was just thinking, man, they should like get in touch with us.
But that video aspect, that in and of itself is very shareable. So if you can come up with a cool video to put on your Kickstarter page, then that could easily be shared, and that's a really good way to make the rounds on social media, too.
Yeah, they say that every successful campaign begins with an anchor audience is what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily mean you have to have a popular podcast, although we could probably get something funded if we wanted to.
Especially your idea.
Yeah, exactly.
With the F word.
Your anchor audience could be just your social circle, your friends and your family.
Your rich uncle.
Yeah, your rich uncle. I'd just go to him first before I even went to Kickstarter and
right.
See what happens. But you should have a good anchor audience. If you're not on social media, if you don't have, a solid support group in life, then unless you really catch on somehow, you're probably not going to get funded.
Yeah. Well, you should be relying on your idea and the catchiness of your pitch anyway.
Yeah.
But the fact that you have access to social media is probably a pretty big leg up over somebody who doesn't know how to use Twitter or Facebook, at least.
Sure. You're not going to be left alone in your experience, though, because once you do get approved, you will be working with Kickstarter. They're going to have a representative get in touch with you, and they're going to work with you and say, you know what, you might want to think about these rewards, or your rewards aren't great, or maybe you should have these price points to tie into these rewards. They want you to succeed because they make their 5% if you succeed.
Exactly.
And they, you know, I'm sure they want to encourage the arts too.
Yeah.
That's how it started, you know?
Yeah.
But we're going to talk a little bit more about those reward levels and a little bit of math and some more controversies right after this break. Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Hey, everybody, it's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace.
Math.
As they say in England.
Yeah. And we used to say it here, too.
Oh, really?
Until, I think, the 19th century, and then we started saying, why are we saying it like that?
We just say math. Except Hodgman. Hodgman always says math.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of the British in him.
He likes to think so.
Yeah.
All right, so the math of rewards levels. They've done a little bit of tinkering just to kind of find out what succeeds and what doesn't. The $25 mm-hmm. pledge is the most popular.
Sure.
About 18.4% of pledges are in the $25 range. $50 is the next most at 13, close to 14%. And you know, that's, if you set your levels, like you can have $1 be your lowest donation level.
Yeah.
If you want.
Yeah.
But you're going to count on, you have to think about your audience. If you think I've got lots and lots of people, but they may not want to throw up a bunch of money,
mm-hmm.
Throw in a bunch of money.
Right.
Then maybe I should do the dollar level.
Well, plus also you should sit down and think about exactly how much you need to achieve your project.
Yeah, they say the minimum amount that you need.
Right. And you really need to sit down and crunch the numbers.
Not
say 20,000. You need to crunch the numbers, know the minimum amount you need,
uh-huh.
because even if you threw a number out, you might find down the road, like, oh man, this isn't actually enough.
Yeah.
So, you want to take that number and then add, they suggest at least the 5% commission that they're going to take from it.
Oh, yeah. Never thought about that.
Right. But say your project is to eat a Chipotle burrito, a chicken burrito, and then describe its deliciousness on a graph.
Yeah.
You need $8 for that. And some guy did that. He set his goal for $8. He made way more than that. I think he got like, he exceeded his funding by like 1300%, which is the record holder still.
Oh, come on.
And he created a graph of the deliciousness of Chipotle chicken burritos and sent them out to like all 270 donors.
Yeah, see, naysayers will say that's just a waste of everyone's time and money.
Conceptual art.
And you should donate that to some, like, important cause. But you know what? It's their money. If people want to donate $1 for that, then that's their right.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true, man.
$100 pledges have the biggest impact on total dollars raised, but they make up less than 10% of pledges. And they recommend you get super creative with your prizes. Make them really personalized. You know, if you're a filmmaker or any kind of creative artist, like a musician, it would really help if you personally were offering something like a signed copy or maybe a phone call, leaving your voicemail, outgoing message, or,
yeah,
you know, something silly like that a lot of people would donate to.
Right. And you put that in as like the highest possible goal. And they say that you don't, you're probably not going to get one of those, but why not put it out there in case somebody does want to shell out like 50 grand or something on something silly like that?
Yeah. And a good idea is a good idea because 94% of successfully funded projects exceed their goals.
Yeah.
So that means if you're onto something, then you're going to get that money plus some. But there have been some controversies, right?
There have. So Veronica Mars was canceled. There's a TV show that was canceled.
Uh-huh. With Stuff You Should Know listener Kristen Bell.
Right. And they brought it back. They said everybody wanted a movie. And what's his name? Rob Thomas?
Yeah.
Who, the guy from...
From what?
Matchbox 20?
No.
A different guy?
No. The great Rob Thomas. He did the TV show Party Down, which is my like.
Gotcha. Okay.
Top five all-time favorite
sure.
shows.
Cool dude then.
Yes.
So he basically said, we're going to make a movie and we're going to use this Kickstarter thing to do it. And they did. They raised like $5.5 million for the movie just from Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the fifth most funded project in Kickstarter history.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But there was some controversy with the way that they offered downloads.
Right.
Apparently they use Flixer.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people were like, I don't use Flixer. I use iTunes or I use Amazon. Like, just give it to me through that. I gave you guys money to go make this movie. Give me the download the way I want to. So apparently he got in touch with the studio, Warner Brothers, I think. And they said, okay, we'll make this right.
Right.
Cause he was saying
they offered
like,
refunds, I believe. Because the idea was if you donated a certain amount, you got the movie within days of its theatrical release
right, yeah.
on your device of choice.
Yeah. And he had a pretty good blog post, and this is actually kind of a good indicator of what you're supposed to do on Kickstarter. You're supposed to post updates.
Yeah, sure.
After you reach your goal, like, that's not that. You don't walk away and then come back when it's done. Like,
right.
You want to post updates about production. You just keep people involved. He had a blog post when all of this hubbub was going on. He said, you know what? Like, I'm really sorry. He said, more than anything else, I want this day to be perfect for you guys because this is the day the Veronica Mars movie that we've all wanted
yeah.
for so long gets released. So it's supposed to be a great day. So whatever you guys need, just get in touch with Warner Brothers customer service and they'll set it right.
Nice.
So it's a good example of handling controversy through Kickstarter, but it also kind of underscores the ownership that people who invest in Kickstarter projects feel
yeah.
in the final product too.
Yeah, for sure.
Like they're like, hey man, I'm an investor in your movie. I should be treated better than this.
Yeah. And, along with Zach Braff, who raised about, more than $2 million for his most recent film, Wish I Was Here. He got a lot of flack because he raised, like I said, over a couple of million bucks and then, got another like $8 million or so from Worldview Entertainment, a film financier.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people said, hey man, that ain't cool. Like you basically said, you know, you don't have the money to do this yourself. So you're going to raise the money via Kickstarter because you don't want to give up your final cut or your casting decisions to some film financier.
Right. Like we understand that.
Like you're avoiding the man and doing it all yourself. So mm-hmm. here's some money. And then you go to a film financier. And they give you completion funds or finishing funds.
Because all these people have already proven they're willing yeah. to pay money for it to
yeah.
see this made.
And he basically said, you know what? I'm not making some different movie. I still have Final Cut.
Mm-hmm.
I never said that wouldn't happen. And so he defended himself, I think, fairly successfully. But a lot of people on the independent creation level hear about Zach Braff making a movie, and they're just ticked off about the whole situation. They're like, Kickstarter should be for the starving artist, not
right.
the guy who made a ton of money on Scrubs,
right.
who could either throw in his own money or get financing. And he already had financing lined up, he said, and he bailed on it because they did want Final Cut.
Right.
So I kind of get both sides on this one, you know?
Yeah.
Like, good for Zach Braff if he can find a way to do it without giving up Final Cut.
Yeah, but I mean, he does serve as a cautionary tale. Like, you don't change the terms after the Kickstarter's funded.
Yeah,
and
true.
He says that he didn't. He said the whole time he said that he was going to take the Kickstarter funds, some of his own money, and then get foreign distribution money to fill out the rest. And apparently that's what he said he did.
Yeah, and again, though, if people wanted to donate to see another Zach Braff written and directed film, then great.
But that's a separate issue. Like, if he wants to come to Kickstarter and use it, then, yeah, he's not going to – if he shouldn't be, or if people disagree with that, then they're not going to fund it. If people do fund it, then that has nothing to do with you.
Exactly.
You know?
So I found an interesting thing here from Cambridge University. They have some computer scientists that say they have found a way, may have found a way to direct your Kickstarter project to the right audience. They basically examined 3 months worth of data from Kickstarter. A researcher named Jisun An, and then plugged it into an algorithm after they found two categories, basically, frequent investors and occasional funders.
Mm-hmm.
Built an algorithm to say which projects attracted which type of funder. And what they came up with was the following. If you are a frequent funder, you're more likely to fund projects where that displays good management. Like if you said, if you're frequently updating the page, if it's really well designed.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense. Kind of like someone who would invest in a company. If they really look like they're buttoned up,
they're
more frequently going to invest. High stakes, they said frequent Kickstarter investors are more likely to invest in something with a high fundraising goal, not the $8 Chipotle graph, which makes sense. If it has universal appeal, they said the local projects are more likely to get funded by infrequent investors. Long-term investors are more likely to fund something with universal appeal. And if it's fast growing, if they see a lot of people are investing, the more frequent and most heavily investors.
Sure. Everybody wants to get in on that.
Exactly. But they did say in the end, it's really all about the quality. That's the one caveat of the project. At the end of the day, it still has to be a quality project.
Yes.
Or catch fire in a meme sort of way.
Right. Like meat soap.
Exactly.
Have you heard of that one?
I already know what it is.
And then there's one, the Grizzly Coat.
Well, what is meat soap?
It's soap made from fat rendered from meats.
Oh,
and
okay.
It smells like meats.
Oh, okay.
It's basically bathing in
meat.
Yeah. So
but
you smell like meat. And then there's the Grizzly Coat, which is a coat with a hood that looks like a grizzly bear's head. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
There's a lot of weirdness out there on Kickstarter. It's wonderful little marketplace of idea exchange.
Yeah, I mean, if I didn't have my job doing what we do with our great company that we work for, like paying the bills and keeping the lights on, I would definitely go this route. Like if it was around in the early 90s, I would have been all over this junk.
Yeah,
because I was out there on the streets making films,
panhandling
for nothing.
Yeah,
and the result was indicative of that.
You got anything else?
No, sir.
If you want to know more about Kickstarter, go to Kickstarter and follow all the rules. You will be funded. You can also learn some more about it by typing Kickstarter into the search bar at howstuffworks.com, and that will bring up this article. And I said article, so it's listener mail time.
Yeah, I'm going to call this That Won't Play in Peoria. Remember during our MPAA podcast. I don't think I could remember the name of the city.
I think we said like Sheboygan or
Where Will It Play?
Walla Walla or something like that.
So we had quite a few follow-ups, and this one is from Nate Malore. And Nate said, so Nate works in a temp at a greenhouse, which is interesting. And he said he's fallen behind lately but wanted to reply about the MPAA podcast. Chuck was struggling to remember the phrase, that will or won't play in Peoria.
Mm-hmm.
Someone has probably let you know this, but if no one has enlightened you, as to the origins, I will. I'm told it was in a book at some point in the late 1800s. But even before that, theater groups, burlesque and vaudeville, would use Peoria to workshop shows on the way to Chicago, as it is a fairly large city on the Illinois River. When I was a kid, it was a test market, even. Have you ever had a McDonald's pizza?
I remember the McPizza.
He says, no. If no, then you're lucky because they're terrible. It supposedly is representative of the Midwest, and according to my father, it was one of the most economically diverse cities in the Midwest. So Peoria, I guess, was just kind of that every place near Chicago.
Gotcha, which explains the phrase.
Exactly. Anyway, I love the show and your sister show, Stuff You Missed in History Class, which we also recommend, by the way. Mm-hmm. Listen to every episode, even the pre-Chuck era, except the 10 or so I have to catch up with. So that is from Nate Malore. And Nate says, P.S., every time you end a commercial and say, go to the search bar and type in stuff to get your whatever, it makes me want to go to whichever site you're plugging, type a bunch of random keys into the search bar, and send you an email calling you jerks in my head using Josh's voice. I'm not sure what that means.
I think it's that face value is how that's to be taken.
Well, Nate, I think you've been in the temping in that greenhouse a little too long.
What kind of greenhouse are you in there, Nate?
Yeah, is it in Humboldt County, California?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Nate. That was very nice of you.
Indeed.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast. You can join us on Facebook.com/StuffYouShouldKnow. You can send us an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com. And as always, join us at our home on the web, stuffyoushouldknow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking health-aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health-Aid Kombucha today.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.